I'm Susanna Marsden, and welcome to Job Shadowing HE, the podcast that delves into the roles of people working in higher education. Each episode hears from guests about what's involved in their role, the career path that led to it, and tips on how to get in and get on in these jobs. My guest in this episode is Kerry Matthews, Chief Student Officer at the University of Surrey, who has leadership responsibility for overseeing the journey of all students and for ensuring their experience is successful and enriching. In this episode, Kerry shares insight into the remit of her role and her career path to date, the importance of co-creating the experience with students, her approach to leading cultural aspects of change, and what it's like being a member of a university executive board. So Kerry, welcome to the podcast and thank you for being my guest today. Let's get straight into an overview of your role. You're Chief Student Officer at the University of Surrey. And when I did a bit of research on you on the lead up to today, Google kindly shared with me the candidate pack from when your post was advertised. And in the introduction to that pack, as you might remember, your President and Vice Chancellor stated that the role is to ensure that the student journey is successful, enriching and a happy one for all students, irrespective of backgrounds. So big task there. Can you tell us a bit more about your role and achieving that vision?
Yes, certainly. So firstly, thank you for having me on today. I really, really appreciate the invitation and the opportunity. And so my role really at Surrey is all about taking lead on absolutely everything to do with the student experience. From a non-academic perspective is probably the easiest way to think about it. So it's really to ensure that our students get the experience that they ultimately should expect from university and that they ultimately deserve as well when they choose to come here. So I'm responsible for all aspects of the student journey, but most importantly as well, that's for all student groups. So that's undergraduate, postgraduate taught, and of course our postgraduate researcher community as well. And I think it's really important when we talk about students to remember that there are a range of students and all three of those different student groups. And so I'm fortunate enough that my role encompasses consideration of all of those different students. And I guess my role on a day-to-day basis probably comes alive when we talk about the idea of providing a seamless student journey for all of those students. So we have a big strategic project here that I'm lead for, which is looking at how we make the experience our students have completely seamless and easy to access all of the services that we offer as a university. We know that universities offer so much, but actually sometimes we can make it really difficult for a student to know how to access all the range of things that are available. And you have to know how, as a student, we're organisationally designed in order to actually get access to the range of support. So we have a strategic project here that's all about really taking all of that away, providing the true first points and single points of contact for students to access information and support, and really embed that into all of our practice so that you've got that true seamless integration, but that's also available for everybody. So it doesn't matter what your background is, what your individual needs are, we've preempted those needs for our students so that students can access what they need, how and when they need it, so that we've offered that really personalised support. And so that's a real part of the role, the remit, and how it comes to life. Something else that's really close to my heart that really focuses on that vision that the Vice Chancellor kindly set out in the candidate pack for me is a piece around all the access and participation plan. So I lead on all aspects of that. And that's really where we focus our significant efforts on making sure we're inclusive for all of our students. And that forms a big part of our existing strategy that we've got at the university. But I've just had the real privilege of being very heavily involved in writing our new strategy. We're currently in the throes of being prepared to launch a really ambitious strategy for the university. And that's a really, really core part of our upcoming strategic priorities as well. And so that's given me a real opportunity in this role to shape a lot of what that will look and feel like for our student community as we move forward.
With everything that you do then, everything that you've described, you presumably have a really large staff team who you'll be reliant on to support you in the success of your remit that you've just outlined there. But in the post of Chief Student Officer, where student plays such a prime part in your title, how do you approach connecting with students directly? And actually, is that connection even possible within the wide remit of your role?
Absolutely. So this part is really close to my heart. I'm very fortunate that I get to do an awful lot, both directly with our student community, but also working very closely with our students' union. So that's a real opportunity for us to come together. And the key bit for me around this, and it's been a real focus for us over the last year or so, is around the real idea and focus on co-creation and co-design with our student community. So that's something that's a real core part of what we're trying to do and the ways in which we work. So I talked a minute ago about the Seamless Student Journey programme. We've got a fantastic co-student design panel that works for that programme. So we've got 160 students who are proactively engaged in that programme, and they get to test every idea we come up with. They get to input, help shape it. So that it's a real opportunity for all of the work that we're doing to be really student-led in terms of what it does. And I get the privilege of going and hearing what those students are telling us and coming up with the ideas. And let's be honest, they're the best people to come up with the ideas on what they need, what will help as we move forward. So that's a real way that we really engage with our student body, and I particularly engage. We, of course, as well, use all of the tools at our disposal. We're a very data-rich sector, let's be honest. We have surveys and student feedback on many things. And again, at Surrey, we're really fortunate that we run a number of in-house surveys throughout the year. So we do things in collaboration with our students' union, such as a termly pulse survey that gives us a huge amount of information, and we're able to immediately react to that student feedback and respond accordingly. We also hold a termly student voice forum where every student in the university is invited to hear from members of the exec board and ask us any question that they like. So that's always an interesting experience. The diversity of question set is always very unique. And of course, you can never, ever prepare, because there's always something that's different. So that gives a real chance to connect directly. And then I do an awful lot of things as well, where I try and meet with individual students to understand their own personal needs and circumstances. So, for example, a student who's here in a wheelchair took me around our campus to show me what it was like to access the campus in the wheelchair. And that was a really eye-opening piece. And that really helped inform a lot of the work we're doing around how we make our campus more accessible for our student community. So there are taking lots and lots of opportunities to do it, being mindful of there are only so many hours in the day. But so using those groups, that data-rich environment, and most importantly, truly embedding it in everything we do. So it doesn't necessarily have to be me that directly receives the feedback, but it's embedded into our projects and our programs. And I see my role as a real responsibility for making sure that that's occurred in the way that we work with our student community.
You've worked in higher education for just under 15 years, having spent a couple of years at the start of your career at the investment banking firm JP Morgan. Tell us about the path that you've taken, and in particular, the stretch in your skills that each of those steps has offered you to where you are now.
Firstly, I have no idea how it's 15 years. It's flown by. It's gone very, very quickly. If you'd asked me how long it had been, I probably would have given you a number slightly less than that. It has somewhat disappeared. But you are right. I took a very different path to move into the sector. So my own background and my own education was in IT. And I went into a career in investment banking, working within the technology strand of the investment bank. And alongside that role, I did recruitment onto the investment bank's graduate scheme. So I went to universities. I was that person that stands at the careers fair and says, "We are the best graduate scheme. Come and join us." And through that, I got a fantastic opportunity, which really shaped my career and changed everything that happened. And I will forever be grateful for the opportunity, which was I was asked to be an external advisor on a review panel of a careers service at a university. And I had the opportunity to give advice on what that careers service could do in terms of helping secure graduate roles and things like that. And through that, there was an opportunity presented to go and work at that university, working in their careers team, setting up a number of new initiatives. And they're all the things now everyone knows and loves, like internships and graduate employability awards and all these things. But they were brand new at the time. And there was this opportunity to move into what started as a fixed term role into the sector. And I decided actually that really excited me. That was something that sounded amazing. And my own
university experience had been so transformative for me that actually the whole thing worked with my values. So I applied and successfully got that opportunity. And as they say, the rest is history, I guess, which is I loved it. I fell in love with working in higher education. And then I subsequently moved through a range of student facing and student service delivery roles into a number of leadership positions, running lots and lots of different services. And as you said at the start, somehow find myself 15 years on in the role that I'm in now and have loved every second of it along the way. And I guess for me, the stretch in the skills has always been being prepared to say yes. So I've always looked at an opportunity and thought, no, I will give that a go. So I've done lots of mobility. So if you look at my background and my roles, it will look like it's a role at a certain job title or grade. But within that, I've been fortunate enough to do that role, but leading lots and lots of different teams and services. So there's been lots and lots of variety, which has meant that I have had to learn very quickly that my skills are very transferable, very adaptable, that there's a common core set to those skills that have been applied to then lots and lots of different teams and services along the way. Learning, obviously, all the time from what you see around good behaviours, from good colleagues and mentors and people who really inspire you, through to obviously learning along the way a few things that you don't want to do or perhaps replicate as you move forward. And I'm sure most people will immediately have someone who pops to mind where that kind of situation occurs. But that also as well for me, the skill piece has always been about, personally for me, suddenly becoming comfortable that I wouldn't know all the answers. And that's something that I think as you progress through your career, you have to recognise that you get to a point where you can't be the expert and know the detail on absolutely everything. But you have to get to know that you're comfortable in being able to ask the right questions to the right people and put trust in those around you to be able to do that. And I think that's how I've seen my own personal development go, is that I've needed to recognise that I can't be the expert in everything and I need to trust the skills and the experience and apply it in that different setting as I've moved forward.
And a common theme in the roles that you've had, and certainly the one that you have now, is change. And reading your LinkedIn profile, you say, a good day for me is knowing I've made a difference. So making things better or making that difference is obviously an ultimate and important outcome to you. But you and I both know leading change can be tough, especially institution-wide change. How do you approach that sort of people or cultural aspect of change?
You're absolutely right. Change is fundamental to everything that I do, but what most of us do, we're in a world that is changing constantly around us and nothing is standing still for 2 minutes. And so recognising that change is a continuum, not a one-off event, I think is really, really important to recognise that and how we manage that. But the hardest part and the bit that certainly keeps me awake at night around change is that piece around people and culture, because that's so fundamental to getting change really positive or making mistakes and getting it wrong. And so you have to recognise that anything to do with people and culture change takes time. It isn't something that's overnight. And as someone who likes immediacy, sometimes I have to remind myself of that. But it is something that takes time to build and evolve. And it's also something that's really delicate. So you can be on the path of improving or changing culture and then make a step back and that really have quite a significant thing. So you have to monitor it and really be mindful of that all the way through. And I think the most important thing is to just always be open and honest and transparent when you're going through delivering change. Set clear expectations on what you're trying to do. Genuinely listen and be open to hearing feedback from people. Not go into it thinking you've got all the answers, and whether that be members of staff in the community, whether that be students, whether that be an external advisor, whatever that might be, really being open to hearing what people have got to tell you. And I think in exchange for that, it is hugely important to be open and honest in how you listen and respond to that feedback. So I always think it's important that you answer every single piece of feedback you've been given, and you recognise that feedback, even if it's to say, I'm not taking that feedback forward, but to show and explain why you're not taking that feedback forward, so that you've shown the respect that someone has spent the time to give you their thoughts and their views, and you're showing the same respect back in terms of how you answer and how you want to use that information that they've kindly shared with you. And I think for me, the biggest piece around whenever you're doing culture change and people change is that you also have to recognise that you can never over communicate. And whilst you think you may have answered something or said something several times, and you've set your vision out and you're really clear on what it is, actually, you can never say that too many times, and that you should become really clear on what that is and what that means all the time, and just reiterate it over and over and over again, because different people will take different nuggets of information at each point in it. And it's really important that each time someone takes something else from it and you start to embed. And I think as well, for your own benefit, it's really important when you're doing culture change, going back to my earlier point about it takes time, giving yourself some milestones of your own, or that moment to reflect on a moment that happened in a meeting, and you go, ah, there's some progress here. I can see the culture shift. I can see this benefit coming from all of this. And so to give yourself that real opportunity to do that as you lead through these things, I think is a really, really important step, and is one that often gets forgotten about because you're just thinking about the next bit you need to do and the next bit. So giving yourself the time to reflect on that personally, but also celebrate that with the team, I think is a really important aspect of how you deliver that change. But recognizing all the time it's not easy for anybody involved who's going through change, and also as the person leading it, it's never easy either, and giving people the space to really reflect on that as processes work through is really, really important.
In your role at Surrey, you're part of the University Executive Board. Now, what goes on in a group like that in any institution can be of real intrigue to colleagues. And sometimes it can also have a bit of a larger than life reputation, whereas in fact, it's normally and hopefully just a group of colleagues meeting to carry out their roles. Is it like that, or can you dispel any mysteries?
It's very much how you've just described. So my role at Surrey is my first exec board role. And so it's been a real opportunity to come in as a new member of the board, and also for me personally to step into to that exec level sort of remit in terms of my remit and responsibilities. And I guess ultimately what's different and what you have to think about when you're part of the exec board is you are ultimately accountable for decision making across all aspects of the university. So, of course, you are there with a specialism. So in my case, I'm an expert on student matters, and everybody around the table has their specialism and their expertise. But you're ultimately there as a collective set of people coming together to make the right decision for the benefit of the whole university. And sometimes there can naturally be a tension, I guess, between those things, because sometimes you can be sat there and think from an institutional perspective, the best decision is to take this decision, but that has implications on my specialist area. So for me, that has an implication on what that means from a student perspective. For some of my colleagues, it will mean something different. And I think that's the piece where when then decision making from an exec board is shared with the wider community and with the team, there's that balance, because of course you might be sharing it back within your own team, who are then playing back what that means for them. And of course you've made that decision collectively together on the benefit of the whole institution. And it is very much a group of people who are working together. The diversity of the conversation is incredible, where you can jump for so many different topics and conversations. And it's one of the things I absolutely love is the diversity of the topics that talked about, the recognition of the vast difference of expertise around the room and the experiences, and really using all those different experiences and specialisms to help come to the best conclusion possible, because you are all coming at it with your own views and experience, and hearing that collective conversation to make a decision is really, really important. And I think the most important bit is no decision is ever made lightly. It is a real carefully considered, informed, debated set of conversations where ultimately everybody is coming out wanting to make the very best possible decision for the university and the community in which we're in, both locally and globally, because of course you have the whole world aspect associated to it. And that's very much the role. So it's very much how you described it in the myth busting. I'm afraid there isn't really anything I can share that's particularly going to dispel that. It is exactly as you've outlined it to be.
Going back to my research on you, Kerry, I've also read that you say 2 hours in my job are never the same, and it's one part of the role that I really love. So clearly there's not going to be a typical day or week that you can describe to us, but can you give some more insight as to what fills some of those hours and also the number of things that you're juggling at the same time?
Yes, so this is a part of my job that I love. And I think if you are to work in any student-facing area or anything to do directly with students, I think you have to accept that 2 hours are never going to be the same in the job. And that's a real part of deciding if that's the right role for you. And it's one of the things that I absolutely love. And I love that diversity of switching the brain from one conversation to a different one all the way through. I guess for me, it won't surprise you to hear that I have a fairly heavy meeting diary. I spend an awful lot of time in conversation, often jumping from one conversation to another one. And not just in terms of the topic, but also the level of detail that we need to go into. So some things I work on, I'm really in the significant detail. Some things are real top line, sort of heavy information that we don't really need to go into masses of things around. So that constant juggling of the brain and the thinking is a really exciting part of the day most of the time. I guess for me, examples I could give you around that in a week will be, I might in one moment be talking about being an executive board. We've just discussed there and the variety of things that are being discussed at an exec board level, with very much with my leadership of the institution hat on as a member of the board, through to then discussing a very specific student case or a student matter that's running through what we might be doing on a whole host of things. Right the way through then to us, as I talked about earlier, thinking about our new university strategy, actually trying to crystal ball 5-10 years in advance, what should life look like for our student community? What do we want to be at the forefront of doing? And really, therefore, that diversity of conversation really plays through. And I guess the importance of multitasking can't be underestimated, and making sure that you've kept each plate spinning where appropriate, and really, really having trust in your team. So you can't be everywhere all of the time, making sure that you've got complete and utter trust in your team and those around you, because you have to accept that you can't do it all. And again, personally, sometimes that's hard for me to accept the fact. I like to have a lot of interest in a lot of things and want to be heavily involved. And sometimes you just have to accept that you can't be in all the places all at once. But making sure, therefore, you're really clear that you've got a plan. I'm a big believer. I love a plan. And making sure that absolutely everything you're doing, really at the heart of it, just continually has the student focus in it, so that every decision you're making, every conversation you're having, truly puts the student at the heart of what you're doing, so that throughout everything that's happening in the day, you can really get a sense of, I've done this because that's the thing I've had the influence on, but the positive impact it's had for the students has been X, Y, and Z. And I think that's the really core part of how to juggle it. But it's certainly one of those that if you want to have a consistency of role throughout a day, and have written down your to-do list at the start of the day and know that that's what you're going to do, probably a student-focused role is probably not the place to be, because we know the level of diversity is so high.
So the Chief Student Officer title is becoming a more common title in the sector. And obviously, while in each institution will have its own sort of specific strategic goals in relation to the student experience, sometimes a peer network can be really important, particularly in the challenging HE climate that we have. So I'm wondering, where does the Chief Student Officer fit within the various HE networks out there?
It's a really interesting question, actually. So I understand that Surrey was the first university to introduce the chief student officer job title. It's becoming more common in the sector now, but it was a really sector leading job role when it was first introduced into the university. And there's lots of universities now that have got a similar role or are exploring introduction of a similar role. And I guess what's really interesting about the role, as with so many parts of student services, student administration, all of that sort of part of the portfolio in the sector, no two roles look identical. And so it's a very diverse role with different remits. And what I mean by that is the remit, of course, is holistically across the institution, but in terms of the direct services under the line management of the post is quite varied. So we are seeing more of the role appear across the sector. And I think that's recognition of the step change that's occurred in the sector, probably over the last decade, around the importance of the student experience being core to university life. But at the moment, there isn't a direct peer group of all of us together. So we sort of overlap with a number of different networks and organisations, Amoshi, ARC, many others that we can sort of align with. And therefore, we've got sort of conversation happening in pockets with each different network that's happening. And we're probably most aligned also to the conversation that happens through the Pro Vice Chancellor of Education, academic, whatever the role title is in each university. So we're also using that network. So at the moment, my network is through a lot of personal contacts and building, as opposed to a sector recognised network. Perhaps it's something we should start exploring as there's more of these roles popping up across the sector.
So your leadership role, it's clearly demanding. Everything you've talked about today, you can hear the breadth and depth of what's involved. But listening to you, I can also hear that it's hugely rewarding. So finishing up our conversation, what advice would you give to colleagues thinking about this chief student officer role as one of their career goals?
So it is hugely rewarding. You are absolutely right. It's why I do the job I do and why I love the job that I do. The satisfaction you get from it is huge. But you are right. The flip side of that coin is it's very demanding as well. And I've given a little insight into me today and some of the personal challenges that I battle between the role and me and everything else. So you're absolutely right. I guess for me, the best advice I could give to people who are thinking about this kind of role is, I talked earlier about the importance of saying yes and taking opportunities. So not being concerned about taking on a new area of responsibility. We always talk about people when they think about their careers, think about what's the job above me in that sort of hierarchical structure we work in. I've done lots of sideways moves to gain breadth of experience and opportunity. And I always think that's hugely important. So don't be afraid to say, actually, I want to go and lead that area, learn about that area, because I think it gives you huge breadth. And it also tells you the things you're really interested in and those things that you aren't as well. There's always going to be something where you are in a role and you go, actually, I don't think that part of the role is for me. And so it's a great opportunity for people to learn. I think it's really, really important from a personal perspective that you learn how to set boundaries when you're in a student-facing role. So students don't see university 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, or a version of that. Students see their university and their university experience, and they see that as a much more holistic 24/7 piece. And so when you've got ultimate responsibility around the student experience, that is 24/7. And so being clear on your own boundaries around how you manage that, how you, again, you put trust in your team, the people around you, I think is really, really important. And the more you can do that early on as you develop in your career, the better, as opposed to trying to do that retrospectively, I think is a really, really key point. And I think that the third point I would say is, going back to something I talked about earlier around not always knowing the answer, is you have to recognise you're never going to be the specialist. And so understanding that
you need to learn the right questions to ask, the right ways to monitor and quality assure and guarantee the experience you're providing to your student community is really, really core. But you're never going to be the subject expert in absolutely everything that's delivered. So learning to get comfortable as best as you can with that and learning what are the right questions and how to take that forward, I think is really, really important. So getting comfortable with that, I think, is key. And I think as well, the final piece of advice I'd give is never forget why you do it. And we've talked a lot about that rewarding and the student and that being at the heart of it. And for me, that is the piece every single day. And there are always days in any role where you have a good day and a slightly harder day. And I think the importance of always truly going back to why you do what you do and why you want to do what you do. And if you've got that passion for students and that passion truly in everything you do, that will hold you in huge stead for making the right decisions for you personally, but also for what you're trying to achieve. And that would be my biggest piece of advice.
Kerry, thank you so much for being so generous with your insights today and for letting me shadow you.
Thank you ever so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to be part of today's podcast.
Thank you for listening to Job Shadowing HE. The podcast was written and presented by Susanna Marsden. Audio production and music by me, Rodri Marsden. More information about this podcast and previous episodes can be found at jobshadowinghe.podbean.com.